hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Much nicer in here now. We sprayed for breeze throughout the studio. The stench is still here, actually. But it's masked by a pleasant scent of lilac.
Light a match.
And so, Drunken Santa is not here anymore. He's back out in the parking lot. I think he passed out.
Smells like candy canes and peppermint.
And
maybe peppermint schnapps
mixed in with urine
and curry
and vomit. Yeah, so we apologize for that, but you know, this is my charitable work here at Scuba Radio, is by bringing Drunken Santa into the studio once a year or a couple times a year. It's how I give back.
You give, you're a giver.
Thank you, CJ. So we have that, but let's move on to more constructive things. Maybe, you know, say you want to pick up a new hobby for the holidays. You know, it's a quilting, flower arranging. No,
where are you going with this, Greg?
Jimmy, you're the bubble boy, and CJ both looking at me like, no, you're
Greg's
on the
going to
land.
San Francisco to make a quilt.
How about gardening? You have a green thumb?
No.
How about a blue thumb? Now, blue thumb, you could start your own coral garden. How about that?
That would be cool.
As a diver, that might make a little bit of sense.
Sure.
And Pete from Scuba Board is on Scuba Radio right now to tell us about his latest underwater gardening project. Right, Pete? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Swell. Much better now.
You know what? I thought this was like xeriscaping. When you told me we were going to be talking to about underwatering your garden, I thought it was going to be like xeriscaping. It was going to be like cactus and stuff.
That sounds right up your alley.
Yeah, of course it was.
That wasn't
be.
A pun, so it's hard to understand.
That wasn't a pun?
He's growing sea cucumbers.
Yeah.
All right, so underwater gardening. That's what you've been doing lately there, Pete, right? Down in the Keys?
I have. I've been hanging out with the Lorax of the Reef.
The Lorax
Ken
of the
Niedermeyer.
Reef. Ken Niedermeyer down there in the Florida
Kinda
Keys.
Kind of looks like Danny DeVito.
He does, really?
No. Exact opposite.
Okay.
Skinny and tall.
Skinny and tall, but he likes to grow coral underwater. So
he does like to grow coral, and he's the most successful person doing it. In fact, he has more varieties of coral than any university anywhere.
Interesting. Now, you went down there and helped him out. He's always looking for volunteers to help, what, monitor these coral gardens that he's transplanted underwater, right?
Actually, he lets the divers monitor the coral forest. He has us going out and cleaning and cutting and pruning and putting them on the reef with epoxy so they stay.
Epoxy. So you're sticking coral to some kind of substructure underwater.
Substrate.
Yeah, substrate, right.
Yeah, you know, the problem in the Keys, if you saw it 30 years ago, we had a huge amount of staghorn coral all over the place.
Right.
That was kind of intimidating because divers thought they would get hurt if they got, you know, too close.
Right.
Okay.
Stab
you. Well, now it's a lot of bare, right rock with a lot of gorgonias. We still got lots of prettiness, but we don't have near the corals that we once had.
Yeah, the staghorn coral has taken it in the shorts over the last 10 years, for sure.
Exactly. And so Ken right now has 300,000 samples of of staghorn coral growing, and we need to get them planted onto the reef.
Now, Pete, how do you guys spread the manure evenly underwater?
Well, that's pretty.
You can grow this garden.
Well, first of all,
that's got to be weird.
Well, no, the diver just cruises along at a nice clip, and I'm guessing they don't. That's not good. That's not how you feed coral.
No.
Coral.
Actually, if you go to coralrestorationfoundation.com, you're going to get a good idea about what's happening. What we do is that we actually cut coral, staghorn coral, at about 1 inch, and then we take a piece of monofilament, wrap it around it so it can't get loose, crimp it down with a little crimper. You know, you loop it around there and use a little aluminum crimper.
Yeah.
And then you put it on a fiberglass Christmas tree underwater. And that's how it grows. And when it's off the ground where coral normally grows, it grows about 6 times faster than what it does when it's in its normal environment.
No, wait, a fiberglass Christmas tree. Explain this again. Well, you put the coral.
We have a tube of fiberglass that we have an anchor in the sand holding it on one end and buoys on the other end holding it straight up. And then we have these rods of fiberglass going through it, sort of looking like a Christmas tree. And we hang the coral from each one of these branches, and it causes them to grow at 6 times the normal rate.
Yes, Pete, I believe the Jewfish refer to it as a holiday tree.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but...
Here in the Keys, we still call it a a Christmas tree, a coral tree, actually.
Well, regardless, it's a Christmas miracle.
Exactly.
I mean, that it grows... That it grows faster in this type of setup, and that's what Ken is...
I bet if you put manure on it, it would really grow.
No, the coral is actually it's an animal, so it's not like a plant, so it doesn't grow with fertilizer. Would hurt it.
Yes, fertilizer would hurt it. Coral, the color from coral actually comes from an algae that lives within the coral, and about 80% of the coral's food is harvested by it from this algae.
Okay, interesting. All right, so you grow them on these underwater Christmas trees. You guys monitor it, and you have to clean those Christmas trees. Is that
all
what you're
time.
Saying? Because
exactly.
What they get some kind of goo covering up, and then once they grow to a certain size, then you can stick them on a substrate. Is that what you're doing, or
exactly.
What?
Exactly. That's what we use underwater putty. We go out to the reefs that they say never touch, and we take a chisel and hammer and we clean off a part because you got to get all the way through that crud.
Yeah.
And then usually, if these staghorns are big enough, which they are, they're about the size of. They're about the width of a basketball, not as full, but they're about the length as a basketball is wide, about, 12, 18 inches, somewhere in there. And we try and glue them down in 2 spots so that they're really anchored on the reef. The last thing you want is coral, being tossed about by the waves.
Yeah, well, it sounds almost like dentistry, putting on an implant or something, a dental implant, Bill. Not
yeah, because all of us are so experienced with dentistry. I understand what you're saying. The closest we know about dentistry
coral.
Is that the
okay.
Yes, it's just like planting coral. It's like dentistry in that the elf in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer wanted to be a dentist. That is exactly how it's like dentistry.
Exactly, that's
the extent
Dr.
of our knowledge.
Well, a lot of divers feel like misfits.
Yeah. Actually, Greg, and the neat thing about this is that, as divers, we've always been told, don't touch the coral, don't touch the coral, don't touch the coral.
Right.
And here, in this particular instance, we're being told, touch, touch, touch.
You're
and,
being
you know,
told to
actually,
hit it with a hammer.
No.
A hammer and a chisel.
The live coral. We're actually taking the live coral and actually working with it. Sometimes we're cutting it, we're pruning it, and we're making new pieces of coral.
Interesting. Well,
it's really cool.
Could you do this technique? Now, you've obviously been around it for a while. You could take this technique and apply it to anywhere around the world, right?
It's already being done in the Bahamas, in Cozumel, and in Bonaire.
Well, I just wonder if, you could say you have a favorite dive site off of California or some other place in the Caribbean or someplace, and you wanted to experiment with this. You could just contact... or go to coralrestoration.com and get the technique and maybe try to create some magic on your own, I guess. Or does it only apply to the staghorn?
Before you do that, they're doing with pillar corals, they're doing with elkhorn, they're doing with all sorts of corals. But remember, coral is a highly protected animal.
Right.
Okay, and so in Florida, you can't just go out do your own thing with coral. You have to actually get the permits, which Ken has done, and you actually have to get the rights and be trained. Now, he does a lot of training classes down here in the Keys, and I invite anyone to come on down to Key Largo, and let's get you set up with training and come out here and work on the coral nursery.
Yeah, well, it sounds like fun. You could decorate your own coral underwater Christmas tree or something.
Hang balls on it.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Well, like I always say, onward and downward.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Pete from Scuba Board is on the line with us. All right, so we've covered your underwater gardening project there, Pete. Good work. And once again, coralrestoration.com. You can go there and get more information about it. But let's talk about a couple other things. You, of course, you're going to be at THEMA next week. We'll see you there and have some fun out there. Anything you're going to be scoping out for yourself there at the show, you think, or what? Pete?
Going to be looking in. Can you not hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Got it.
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Yep.
I'm actually going to be scoping out the various computers, personal dive computers that they have. And also, Aries has made a very, the thing they have, a game changer. And I want to see what that game changer is.
Game changer from Aries. Yes, that will be interesting.
Yeah, it looks like a backpack, but I'm not. I'm suspecting that these guys have hidden a BC in it, but I don't know.
Well, time will tell. We will have to see how that unfolds, but it could be fun. It could be fun for sure, and we'll look for that and a few other things. What about just taking down these like iPad minis and things underwater? What do you think? Could that be a thing that's going to happen more and more? I think so. What do you think?
I see that, but, you know, you're talking about a lot of money that you're taking down there. It's like I've got a Razor Max, which I love, but, boy, I'd hate to expose it to the elements.
Yeah, well, I guess it'll just be a matter of time and see if they come up with something that is dependable enough where you feel safe enough to do that. But taking an iPad down underwater and something like a case or something specifically built for it, I think that could be a wave of the future. We'll see. You know, time will tell. Like I say, you could use it for...
I get it, wave.
Yeah, could be a wave. All right, so anyway, that'll be DEMA. We'll cover some of that stuff, obviously, next week. When you get back, I know you got some plans to go back into some scuba diving training. Let's talk about that. You're going to do some cave stuff. Is that the deal?
You know, I've been diving in caves, started cavern back in the turn of the century, and I just have never completed it. So this year, I'd like to complete it before the end of the year, if possible. And I'm headed back to cave country to hopefully finish my final cave.
So,
Temple Cave.
Now, was it your latest adventure there at Jenny Springs where you did your little Halloween dive with the glow sticks and things? They kind of said, hey.
I did training at that time, too.
Oh, you did do some training there. Now, is that where you're going to
do some training?
Are you going to do your cave training there? Is that the area you're planning to brush up on those skills and finish that cave diving certification at, or what?
I believe so. Jenny Springs is such a high volume cave that if you can dive there, you can pretty much cave dive anywhere because, you know, dealing with the high flow is really what you need to deal with.
Yes.
What you need to learn.
Yeah. A lot of water bubbles through that cave system for sure.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's
so
amazing.
Now, so is that what you're thinking, though? Because as a warm water wuss like myself, we're kind of getting into the cold diving season here in Florida. Which
it never goes below 72 degrees in the cave.
That's true, and that's where the Florida divers go, and everybody listening up north and stuff go, what are you kidding me? What does it get down to? Like 40? No, it gets down to like 65, 60 maybe in the winter here in Florida, and that's freezing cold to us, and it's like, oh, my God, we can't dive for a couple months. So we go to the Springs where it's 72, and that's still very, very cold to me, but it's still doable. And so that's what you're thinking. You're going to brush up on your cave diving skills. Do you have a mission, a plan that you want to, get to or accomplish? Is there a dive site or a cave system that you're looking to, explore, and that's why you want to do that, or what?
I think that as a dive instructor, it's important for my horizontal and trim and my buoyancy would be to be impeccable. And really nothing teaches you that like cavern and cave. And you really don't get that down until you take those classes and really have to be able to stay flat.
Stay flat and not stir up the silt. So you're using frog kick and that kind of stuff, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, and that's something I've always done is the frog kick. I'm a longtime frog kicker.
Yeah.
And that's why Bill gets so nervous when I'm around. And put up bump.
Yeah, he lost me on that
frog
one.
Frog kick's good for me.
Why Bill? What's your deal with frogs? What are you?
He thinks I'm French.
He thinks you're French and you prefer frogs?
Dommage, eh?
He's a frog kicker. I was a toad licker.
Wow. That's psychedelic.
I want a name when I lose.
Okay, I don't know what anybody's saying now, and I'm totally lost. But, I've been interested in doing this cave diving thing, or at least doing a cavern course, but I've always kind of pulled back because that's kind of an area where it definitely is in the technical realm, and they have a tendency to have some issues. That's where probably you hear, I don't know what the accident rate is, but it seems much higher than the general diving community. Is that a fair assumption or what? Or no?
Actually, Greg, if you don't take the training, then the risk is way up there. If you try and go into a cave thinking that you are Joe Schmo and that the rules, that you'll be able to figure it out, that's when you die. If you get the training, your odds are way up in your favor. And Mark Bryan is going to be my instructor, has been my instructor for a while. And, he's very dedicated to making sure that you understand each step so you don't put yourself in a predicament where you can hurt yourself.
Right. Yeah, well, obviously you want to get the proper training. And anybody that goes into a cave that doesn't have the proper training is just asking for trouble. There's no doubt about it. That's why we have those skull and crossbone signs that are mounted at all these cavernous areas that say do not go beyond this point unless you are a certified cave diver, because there's so many things that can go wrong. I've actually had an incident at one of the springs where I, you know, obviously I'm not cave certified, but I saw one of those signs and didn't go past it. But even down by there, and I kind of got it caught in the flow and got flipped around a little bit, and I did not like it. And it kind of kept me from pursuing that element. But I don't know. I'd be open to maybe exploring that a little bit more.
Well, there's lots of great cave teachers out there, and like I said, the best ones are patient. They let you run at your pace, not at their pace. And it's really what you want, because you're looking to improve your skills. You're looking to have fun while you're down there. And you know, it's like I see the corals as we're growing them, but this is I'm seeing the coral what it was, you know, a million years ago. I'm seeing right. Fossil corals as I'm diving.
Yeah, yeah. There's some crazy stuff down under there, and the water's the visibility is amazing if you can get down there.
It's
and you're
awesome.
Properly certified. So I've definitely seen some great videos and pictures. Pete from Scuba Board, thank you so much. Scubaboard.com, go there and talk about cave diving subjects, coral restoration, you name it. They are talking about it right there on the website. All right, more coming up. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
Award, Dan Orr from Divers Alert Network is going to join us just a bit on the big show. He just got back from Japan and, gosh, where was the other place he was?
Cayman.
Cayman. That's Michiwa. Right. And he has reports for us on that as well. He's talking about that fine award that he will be receiving at the DEMA show here next week. Jimmy the Bubble Boy and CJ, my dive students, in the studio here today, too. Now, I notice you guys have been perusing the Scuba Radio website and drooling over the pictures from our Turks and Caicos adventure.
What?
It's bringing back a lot of memories, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Because that was your one big liveaboard trip.
Oh, my God. It's so good.
Was in the Turks. Jimmy's been on a couple. But, yeah, you know, the pictures we have up at scubaradio.com from that trip from a few weeks ago, they turned out pretty good.
I highly recommend them, Craig.
Highly recommended. Two fins up.
Two fences.
Wait till you see
the
video.
Lot. We hit the slideshow, and we've been looking at this thing for a
There's
long
like 250 pictures, the
yeah.
most we've ever had from a trip, are up at scubaradio.com. And I'm getting ready to turn some of those. Some of those pictures are going to be part of this video.
A lot of them have you in them, but still, there's a lot of good ones, too.
Well, thank you. And it's hard to take pictures of me.
The puppet.
Well, yeah, and the mermaid
the
puppet.
The puppet is hilarious.
She was a big hit. They yeah. actually took the puppet, some of the other passengers, and took her down and took her down as their dive buddy and had some fun with the mermaid puppet. I gave an award or had an award for the most, I don't know, what colorful picture, damning picture of the mermaid puppet while on board. And there were a few pictures that they took that I can't release to the public. You hear what I'm saying?
Right.
She was a bad girl. Let's just leave it at that. And she has a serious drinking problem. And actually, Dan Orr gave her the nickname the Merslut.
You can text those pictures to CJ and me.
Yeah, you really will that work for you?
Yeah,
Jimmy,
you know some issues. Of these pictures are great, Greg. I'd actually give them a snorkel up too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a little bit too much information.
Inappropriate.
All right. Well, that'll have to do for now. Go to the website scuberio.com and look at them for yourself. Dan Orr is next. Stay close.
This
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba, scuba diver. Scuba, 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 scuba. Scuba dooba hooba hobba. Scuba. Scuba diver.
This is the world's first radio show devoted scuba. To diving. On the phone is Dan Orr. He is receiving the Reaching Out Award this year at the DEMA show, and he's on Scuba Radio right now. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing fucking great. How are you doing?
I'm great. Matter of fact, CJ and Jimmy are in the studio, my dive students, and they're looking at the Turks and Caicos pictures from our trip. Which some of those shots that you took turned out really nice as well. And we have a few of those up there at ScubaRadio.com.
Way to sound surprised that Dan Orr took good pictures underwater. That's an excellent job. Hey, even some of the pictures you took, they came out pretty good. I didn't have mermaids in them or none of that garbage.
Actually, they did. And but Betty took some great shots. She got, you know, the thing is, Betty doesn't dive. She hangs out on top. And takes pictures of all the divers coming in and out of the water and gets an angle that we don't normally get on our trip. So it was really nice because we got some really cool shots.
Actually,
yeah,
and she's with me right here, right now.
Well, there you go. Well, Betty, thank you so much. We appreciate that. Make sure you tell her that for me, Dan. Now, you just got back from Cayman, and then before that, you were in Japan. Let's go back there first. Let's talk about your adventure in Japan. And tell me, first of all, why you were in Japan, and you actually did a dive while you were there as well. Is that right? Dan? Hello?
Konnichiwa.
Uh-oh.
Well, it was a long explanation when he was talking to Betty, I think.
You think it was? I think we lost him. Did we lose him? Try to reestablish that connection there for us, Bill. But he was telling me yesterday when we were setting up the interview here that he went to Japan, he did a dive, and he said, you know, Japan's awesome. It's definitely on my list of places to visit, but they have sushi for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Wow. And after, you know, you're there for a few days, you're a little sushied out. Is that right, Dan? Did we reconnect with you? Are we with you? Dan? Uh-oh, what's going
on
here,
Bill? Sounds very fishy, Greg.
Hello? Say anything. No, we don't got him. But we're trying. We'll reconnect here in just a
bit. Bacon wrap sushi there.
What's that?
They have bacon wrap sushi.
Bacon wrap sushi. They do.
That'd be good.
No, I don't think so.
Filet mignon.
If they did, it would be raw.
But no, you cook the bacon, then put it around the sushi.
No, they wouldn't cook it. I don't think because it wouldn't be sushi to them. I mean, I'm guessing. I could be wrong. I don't know.
But then the other part you cook.
No, I don't think that's how it works. No. They don't like cooking anything, I guess, is what, at least that's the way he explained it to me. But he could be biased. I don't know. But he said, you know, despite the fact that they eat everything that we like to take pictures of underwater, the diving there in Japan was actually quite impressive.
Yeah. What temperature?
Well, I mean, they have water. Seasons just like we do here. So I guess there's a warm and a cold season. You know, for diving. So you should be able to do a little bit of everything, don't you think?
Sweet.
So,
they have wrecks?
I would guess they have a few. We might have helped contribute to a few of them.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
You think? Maybe. But he went to Japan. And I mean, is that a place where you guys would want to go sometime?
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
there's actually...
absolutely.
There's a big... the dive market in Japan is supposedly quite strong. It's a lot different than it is here in the States, there and China. So it's just one of those things where, you know, you have to kind of look at what's there in your local area. But he went out there for an event for Dan, Divers Alert Network, like the world leaders, because there's Dan US, there's Dan Europe, there's Dan Japan, and they all come together kind of like you know, what do they call it? The Super 8 or what is it? The Conference of All the Governments?
I don't know. The G8.
Yeah, the G8. It's kind of like that for Dan, I think, worldwide.
There
he is.
Can you hear me?
Well, I got you. We got you back there, Dan. How are you?
Okay, I'm doing well. Well, as I was saying, each year we have a meeting of the International Dan Presidents.
That's
all the different components.
Right.
And so this year it happened to be in Tokyo at the Dental and Medical University.
At the Dental and Medical University.
And Medical University. And so we went over there on the 27th of October, and we had a couple of days of meeting with all of our IDAN partners talking about different programs that we can do to help divers all over the world. And then we went to the Izu Peninsula and did a dive in the Sea of Japan. And it was absolutely fabulous.
Really? So CJ was asking, is it warm, cold water, or what? What did you have?
It was cold water. It was about 68 degrees. The visibility was not especially great. But the bottom was covered with just lots of soft corals and hard corals and colorful fish and nudibranchs everywhere. And it was a fabulous dive. Had a great time.
Interesting. And now, am I right or am I getting my areas mixed up? But I've been told that Japan is a booming dive market. Or am I mixing that up with China? I know China definitely is, but what about Japan?
Well, diving has always been very popular in Japan, and the one thing unique about diving in Japan is the fact there it's about 50-50 men and women, whereas in the United States it's about 25 to 28% women. It's about half and half there. Plus, there are a lot of young people, young Japanese people who are interested in the sport.
All right, so you got hot Asian mermaid potential. sounds like it might be.
I wasn't going to say that, but.
It might be a recruiting area for us here at Scuba Radio, maybe, is what you're saying.
It could be.
Yeah,
could be.
All right, so that sounds like a lot of fun. And then from there, you came back, and then you went over to Cayman for the International Diving Hall of Fame. Is that what the deal was, or what?
I did, yeah. Betty and I flew over there to Grand Cayman to participate in the International Scuba Diving Hall of Fame induction ceremony. I was asked to accept an award for a diving pioneer, a guy named Maurice Finzi, who invented the buoy Finzi, was the first adjustable buoyancy compensator in the world.
Wow.
And so I accepted the award on his behalf. Last year, in fact, I was there accepting the award for J.S. Haldane, who was a pioneer in modern decompression theory.
Very nice. All right. And that's a fine organization that they've been doing. And actually, the International Diving Hall of Fame in Cayman's relatively new, isn't it? And then just a few years old?
Yeah, it's only been around, I think, since 2004.
Okay, right.
So it's only been a few years. And, in fact, this last time, Leslie Leaney from the Historical Diving Society was inducted, as well as Joanne and Armin Ziggin from Beneath the Sea were inducted.
Right. Yeah, is there actually a place there in Grand Cayman you can go to and visit this thing? Is there a museum, or is it just an organization?
Okay, right now it's virtual, so it's a virtual museum. Eventually, they're going to have a physical location. They've been told that, and the Cayman government supports that, so at some point in time there will be.
Excellent.
Okay, what kind of garbage is this then?
What?
Dan Orr not only goes to Japan, now he goes to Grand Cayman to accept an award for somebody else that isn't even it's not like he's getting a plaque that's getting put up on a wall anywhere. He's just using this whole diving thing as an excuse to travel around the country and dive in great exotic locations. I'm starting to hate him as much as I hate you.
Well, I'll tell you, I did not get a chance to dive in Grand Cayman. I was only there for 2 days, and now I'm in beautiful Santa Barbara.
Ah, very nice. Well, are you going to do some diving there or no?
No, he's going to appear on an episode of Psych.
Ah, okay.
Interesting. I wish. but actually, we're here to attend the Historical Diving Society's 20th anniversary conference.
Ah, very nice. Well, I mean, as you should. And Dan, I mean, he knows everybody and anybody in the dive industry. And when he goes out to these events, it's, I mean, he's a rock star. He's a traveling rock star. He has to kind of get out there and spread the word of Dan and do a little bit of, shaking hands and kissing babies kind of thing, right, Dan? Something like that.
Yeah. I wouldn't really call myself a rock star. I really have an opportunity to interact with rock stars, but
we're doing our
job every single day. In fact, I was just talking to a guy a minute ago that you may be interested in talking to, a guy named Ben Hallworth. He's the guy that wrote the book Sea Lab.
Wrote the book Sea Lab.
Sea Lab. You know about the Navy Sea Lab program?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He's out so there with the Historical Diving Society then.
It's your kind of book. Yeah, it's got pictures in it.
Yeah, okay, great. Thanks, Bill.
But they've all been colored in.
Yes. So. Well, thank you. Well, okay. Well, first of all, before we go any farther, congratulations on your Reaching Out Award. We didn't talk about that enough on the Liveaboard trip. But, you know, it's an honor to have you as a friend, Dan, and it's well-deserved. You're going to get your get a little attention at the DEMA show. It's a long time coming, but hats off to you, my friend. And are you working on your acceptance speech? Are you going to be Carla Fole? Are you going to do like a Neil Watson shrinkage story or what? What are you doing?
I don't think anybody can do what Neil Watson does.
Well, maybe. All right. Well, he's working on it. I have no doubt. He'll come up with something good, and we'll cover that, obviously, next week.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry and at an affordable price. Go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
So, you know, I don't know, was it last week that you brought your daughter to work day? That was actually 2 weeks.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah. And today, CJ has brought Ryan, his son, into the studio, despite learning from Bill's mistake. And, and
she has not stopped crying.
Aww.
It's been 2 weeks.
All right. Well,
she has not stopped shrieking. She's a 3-year-old, and
but she's in therapy, right?
We're gonna have to have her institutionalized for at least a year and a half.
Okay. Well, so chip off the old block. So Ryan's
pictures
here
of her on Facebook, though,
and Ryan is jealous of Jimmy the Bubble Boy because Jimmy has
He has no idea what Jimmy's life is like.
Exactly. Well, he has a nickname. And Ryan wants a name, so we were trying to, you know, he's like Ryan the Reef Shark, Ryan the
Ray.
The Ray.
Ryan the Regurgitator.
Which is not a fish, so I don't get that. But evidently he has a thing for vomit.
No, it's...
Okay.
That was my dad's idea.
All right. How about Ryan?
Yes, it was.
Ryan the Remora. He'll suck the energy from any room or something. I don't know. What?
Gee, that's nice, Greg.
He will latch himself onto you.
He will... He'll suck you dry. Is that true, Bill? CJ?
You're talking about money or yes. video games.
Yeah,
the blood,
food.
Yeah. That's what I was. What else would I be talking about? As he eyes me like he's gonna kill me. That's what he's looking
maybe
at
not
me
such
like.
A
I'll kill
game.
You. Are. I'll cut you, man. All right. So I don't know, Ryan the Remora. We'll come up with something.
No, Ryan the Remora.
You think that sucks?
He'll be all here right. all week, folks. Yeah, try the veal.
All right, let's move on. Big Wave Dave. He has a nickname, so let's put him on the air. Dave, how are you, buddy?
Hey. Oh, you mean I don't have a real name, just a nickname.
That's
okay.
right.
I'm doing great.
Big Wave Dave's at the DEMA show already, getting a jump on the crowd because it's going to be slamming this year, and the lines are going to be long. He's already in Vegas and setting up the Be a Diver pool. Is that right, Dave, or what?
Yep, the Be a Diver pool is all set up. Of course, this week it'll be the Be a Diver demo pool for all the new products at the show.
And, of course, I mean, since it's in Las Vegas and you're essentially in the desert, it's hard to get water. So he actually has to get it one cup at a time. He knocks on people's rooms and says, can I borrow a cup of water? And he just goes from hotel room to hotel room getting water one cup at a time to fill
Sand
the DEMA pool,
Dave.
That's why he has to be there so early.
I never thought about that, but now that you mention it, it could be a way
it is a desert.
To kick up the humidity inside the convention center for all us folks from... the humid south. You think, Dave?
Oh, we need that because it is dry there, man. You get up in the morning, you got to like drink 2 gallons of water just to rehydrate yourself.
It is.
That's without the alcohol. So
yeah, that's without the alcohol. Yeah, the alcohol. It's like it's a bad scene. Yeah, you got to bring all kinds of lubricant. Anyway,
what the heck is wrong with you? There is a young man sitting right there.
No, your hands get all chapped and your face and stuff. You need to like hand lotion and stuff.
Wow.
What?
But,
I'm just saying.
Saw some of the Facebook posts, man. The hall looks great.
Yeah.
They're already delivering freight, so when people show up Monday to set up, man, they're going to be lock and load.
Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to it, Dave. And I have heard that the show is pretty much sold out. Is that what is the latest word on that regard? Have you been talking to the crew?
It is. Yep, it is. I haven't seen the exact floor plan, but I know... Last week, I think I saw one booth left. So,
what about the convention center itself? How does it stack up to where we've been before? Because this is a brand new location at the Sands Expo Center there, which is connected to the Venetian. Is that the deal there in Vegas or what?
Well, it's connected to the Venetian, which is one of the show hotels. Our major show hotel is Harrah's, which is they have a walkway going to it, or you can do a shuttle.
Okay.
I mean, once it's all set up and carpeted, you don't really know where you're at.
Well, good point. It's going to look like the DEMA show no matter what. So I'm excited. We got some fun things planned for our little shindig there at the opening of the show, as well as our Junkanoo happy hour.
I do have a quick question, Big Wave Dave. Do you have a favorite 80s rock star?
80s rock star. You know, AC/DC.
Not Helen Reddy.
Why do I have to dress up like that person?
No.
You don't have to. No. When you pass out, you're going to be dressed up like that person. So you don't have to. Any extra special work.
I've already got my costume. They may not think it's an 80s rock star, but you know,
Helen Reddy.
We have a great band playing that night for the party. So.
Okay. You're going.
You know,
with
Rubber Biscuit.
Yeah, you're going with a little blues vibe, are you? Yeah, because they have a Blues Brothers tribute band. At the party for Friday night at the Hard Rock Cafe.
Will it be
Rawhide?
Will it be Blues Brothers 2000 tribute band?
No, original
with John
band.
Goodman. No,
yeah.
That's not Blues Brothers. Come on, we want real Blues Brothers.
So
right?
it'll be a skinny Dan Aykroyd guy, not a really fat Dan Aykroyd guy doing.
It's going to be tough finding a skinny Jim
Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, we'll find plenty of Jim Belushis, I have a feeling. Just knowing the
I'm
people
sure
we hang
with. It's going to be a fantastic night. I mean, again, we're out there honoring our Reaching Out Award recipients that night, and of course, the whole time.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, there's nothing like getting the Reach Around Award.
Wait, hold on. That doesn't happen until Saturday night in Vegas.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And what happens in Vegas, remember... Shows up on Facebook a couple days later.
Also, remember your lubricant. These are important to DEMA tips from Scuba Radio. Bring plenty of lubricant.
I'm staying away from those. Those didn't come from me.
No, and, you know, and Bill's, he's reading things into stuff that just isn't there. You know, the dry weather makes your skin very, crusty. What?
It does at that, though. I would agree. It is very dry, but, again, it looks like it's going to rain today. By the way, for all our friends coming to DEMA show... it is only looking a high of 60s during the day, and the evening kind of maybe, you know, 50s. So,
yeah. So bring a jacket.
Bring your warm clothes.
Yes.
Bring a sweater and lubricant.
Really, Bill is
and chaps. If you got chaps.
No, you'll get chapped.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's what, if you don't.
It is so confusing.
Ah, see, I've done this a few years. I kind of know what you have to bring. I have my survival kit for Dima in place. Lubricant, aspirin. I'm just saying. You know, it's experience. That's what gets you through
Dave,
these
Dave, aren't
years.
You glad you were a part of this segment?
Yes, I know. I'm trying to figure out how I can segue out of that segment.
You know what?
Bye, Dave. See you at Dima.
There you go. That works. DimaShow.com. Go check it out. And, of course, we'll be broadcasting from the event next week. Till then, remember, it's always better
down where it's wetter.
Down, everybody.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.